Okay, so what I want to do today is examine, not in great depth, mostly, there aren't actually that many sources. These are mostly longer tshuvot, which I've just divided into sections. Two halachic questions about marriage that highlight, as our series has been focusing on modern issues in Psak, not just things that happen to come up in modernity, but specifically methodological issues that come up in Psak. Specifically, what I want to do today is focus on the fact that, until now, the topic, at least the topic I dealt with, I only dealt with one. So the topic I dealt with last time, minority rights, and then when I dealt with it in with religious tolerance a few months ago, I dealt with things where there was one, shall we call it, modern value at stake. There was the question of does halacha embrace or not embrace the notion that minorities should have rights? Does it embrace the notion there should be religious tolerance or not? Does it deal with it begrudgingly? Does it find language to embrace it? Does it reject it? And that was it. But that's not really how life usually works. I mean, sometimes it works that way. The question is, we have the standard halachic sources, and then we have a halachic problem, a modern issue, and the question is, how do we deal with them together? But sometimes you have two, quote-unquote, modern values that actually push us in different directions, right? It's not always the case that it's so easy, the question of accepting or rejecting. Sometimes there are different values. And what I want to deal with is two cases where you see that. Now, what are the two values? So on the one hand, we're going to talk about Karaites, and we're talking about the Ethiopian Jews. Now, the problem with Karaites, as we'll see, and I'll just summarize it in advance, is one, that Karaites, who do live in Israel, not in huge numbers, but they do live there, something like 30 to 50,000 of them or something like that. But the Karaites who do live there, they have their own communities. They're focused in a few cities, in Ramla and I forget where else. But they work in the, not Ramallah, in Ramla. And they, the sister city of Vaughan, I think. If I remember right. Yeah. Right? Ramla, yeah. I don't know what that even means, but the sister city of Vaughan. But they are in the army, they're part of society, often, just like we have non-practicing rabbinate Jews, we have non-practicing Karaite Jews, and they end up wanting to marry, neither of them are, from Karaites or from rabbinate Jews, they're whatever, Israelis, and they want to get married, but marriage is under the auspices of the Rabbanut, so can they marry them? And there's two potential problems. One is the problem of whether they're Jewish, which the answer is, maybe yes. They are Jews, or at least originally they were Jews, but they don't have the same conversion standards as us, and if they're ever converts mixed in, their children may not be Jewish, because if the conversion wasn't good and their children are not Jewish, so maybe they're not Jewish. That is not nearly as problematic as the possibility that they are Jewish, because if they are Jewish, so they're Jewish, but they might be mamzerim, because if ever somebody got divorced, whenever, and didn't perform a proper, proper divorce ceremony with a get, so then the next person they marry, it's Eishes Ish, the kids are mamzerim, and that passes on forever, so that creates problems. On the other hand, there's a feeling in Israel that, if at all possible, we want to allow them to marry into Klal Yisrael, because they're Israeli like everybody else. They identify as Jews. They're Moser Nefesh and Sahal. And that's a very modern value, right? They identify as Jews. They identify like the rest of us. Who cares where they came from? Who cares about history and accuracy and things like that? We care about, identity, right? And, if you read sociological papers in the last 30, 40 years, that's the direction of the world, right? Half Jews, half Christians, quarter Jews, right? Everything's about identity. So it doesn't matter what you are. You identify a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You are half this, half this, quarter that, whatever. I mean, what you find is you actually get tension between, on the one hand, the quote-unquote modern value of allowing people to identify as they will, of respecting people's choice of which community they join. On the other hand, historical accuracy, which, sometimes, normally, modern people would say, well, if I had a choice of poskening based on historical accuracy or not, I would go in favor of historical accuracy. But, Sometimes we don't want to be historical because history tells us things that we don't actually want to hear. So the question is, how do you deal with that? You actually have two values in tension. So we find that type of tension both in the question of marrying Karaites and in the question of marrying into the Ethiopian community, or having, or letting the Ethiopian community marry into the Jews that were not off in Ethiopia. We'll get to exactly what the difference is in a minute. So that's what I want to do. Let's start with the question of the Karaites, though. So who are the Karaites? So you'll find often in rabbinic literature, for sake of simplicity, sometimes they will be identified with the Tzedukim, Baitusim, the other sectarian groups of the Second Temple period who didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, or didn't fully believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, or whatever exactly they believed. That's not who we're talking about in terms of the Karaites. They also don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, they don't believe in the Oral Torah, but we're speaking specifically about a group that began in the 8th century, by a person named Anan ben David. You can look on Wikipedia, you can get the whole story, but basically, a machlokas erupted in the century where Anan ben David wanted to be the exilarch, right, the leader of the community. That didn't work out well for him, so he did what every good, powerful person does who doesn't get his way. He started his own sect, and created a sect founded on the notion that Torah Shebaal Peh is not binding, that it's all about, right, it's what becomes known in Latin later on in, you know, Lutheranism, sola scriptura. It's all about what it says in the Chumash, in Tanakh, that's it. And he creates his own sect. And that is the, that's the group of the Karaites. Now, first thing to note is that historically, if you look in every generation where there were Karaites, where people had Karaites, whether it be the generation of the Rambam or the Radbaz, they will write endlessly about how you shouldn't marry the Karaites, you shouldn't marry the Karaites, they're terrible, they're terrible, they don't keep halacha, they're mamzerim, they're this, that, and the other thing, don't marry, and you would get the feeling that no one ever married Karaites. This is historically untrue. Rabbis can say whatever they want. Historically, this happened all the time. If you don't believe me, look at number one. This is just one example of many, 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 many ketubot that were found in the Cairo Geniza. When we got the Cairo Geniza, so many things we found there were, right? Ketubot. Ketubah is from hundreds and hundreds of years. So here's a ketubah from 1035. And this is pretty standard. It is a ketubah between a, one of them is a rabbinate, one's a karaite, I don't remember which one I put, but I'll see in a second. Lo yavi el beiso asher hi bo biota ishto ela velo shtei haklayot velo yzeret hakaved velo yavir ner bilele shabbatot velo beiso eish bimeh shabbatot. You have a compromise, right? So he is a one second. He is a rabbinate. Yeah, he is a rabbinate, and she is a Karaite. So therefore, she believes, the Karaites believed you weren't allowed to have a fire in your house on Shabbos, whether or not you lit it, because they take the pasuk literally, to lo zavaru eish b'chol moshoseichem. So they agree when they get married that they will follow the chumros of the Karaites on Shabbos, and they won't have fire. And shelo yachriach osal moadei Hashem tzvakot ashel riyas hayareach, and he won't force her to work on, no, I got it wrong, the other way around, right? He won't force her to work on the yomim tovim of riyas hayareach. No, I got that right. Meaning they continue to do riyas hayareach, right? And we don't. We do it according to the calendar now, right? So he won't force her to work on the days that she thinks is yom tov, right? And you have all types of things, right? They'll keep the chumras of the rabbinates, the chumras of the Karaites, everyone will be happy. So it was actually standard. So it was a question the poskim had to deal with. It wasn't just that they were giving people mussar. Like, it happened all the time, so poskim were dealing with a reality. So, is it mutter or is it not? So if you look at number two, this is the classic tshuva that is quoted. The Radbaz was asked this question in Egypt in the 15th century. And he wrote as follows: Sha'alta memeni odiacha daiti ve'echad mi bali mikra hakavana l'ka'araim shekiva lavdirei chaveruz lioske echad meharabanim. So here you had a Karaite who accepted rabbinate to be part of the rabbinate community. V'lishmor kol mitzvos derabanan lizar mikol ma sha'asru emuter lasiu isha im yesh bahem chash piso milavo bakal im lav. So now he agreed to keep all the derabanan, so is he allowed to marry into the rabbinic community? So now we don't have the problem of, you know, he's a Russia, he's a terrible person, he doesn't keep the Torah as we know it, but you have the problem of potential psule kahal, of mamzerus and the like. So what is the halacha? So the Radbad says, well, tshuva. Karnish alti azeh pamim acherot. I was asked this many times. Ve'alezi shem mutarim lofu bakalam ayu kamonu. And I've said it's mutter as long as they become rabbinates, it's fine. Vatam shekol ha-kidushin shalahem he-be'idim psulim in ha-Torah ve'en kan kidushin klal. She says, very simple. In order for someone to get divorced without a get to be a problem, they need to first have gotten married. But none of them are kosher la'idus, so their kiddushin is in front of non-kosher edim, and therefore their marriage isn't good. If their marriage isn't good, you don't need a get to dissolve it, and therefore there's no mamzerus and shalom al Yisrael. So therefore, if you were to be with one of their wives, you wouldn't be with a married woman. Hilkach afal bishayin gitin gets, even though their get is not a get, ain't got chash mamzerus. There's no mamzer, sharein isha shalahem, isha zelikis nos balma, because there's no marriage, there's no divorce, it's no problem. Two, ode lazy sham, the lochashin litzadugu baises harishonim, shema nusum haim be'edim ksherim. He said, well, maybe you'll tell me that the first generation of Karaites had good marriages, right? Because maybe they became Karaites in the middle of their marriage and then got divorced. So maybe you'll tell me you're worried about that. Don't worry about that. Ve'echad mem girish beget pasul, shem echad me habanim nefchu ish v'ishto l'minos v'girish ish ishto beget shalem she'en oget. He said, first of all, why don't I care? Because chada dechzuke yisura misveka lo mechazginan. First of all, because we don't create chazaka of yisur, we don't assume that things happened. To say that maybe there's mamzeros, if they were constantly getting married and not divorcing for hundreds of years, so then you can assume there was a problem. But here, it's a mi'ud, right? It's a minority. If the only potential problem of mamzerus is the first generation, the people who got married as kosher Jews and then became Karaites, for that, I'm not going to assume there's an isser. That's reason one. Visu, and second reason, the ikakama sveke. And there's all types of svekot I could raise. Di'im tim tzalomar shayin isuim, because even if they were married, shemalo girish echamayim ezishto, maybe the first generation didn't get divorced. Vim tim tzalomar girish, and maybe they did get divorced. Shema be'idim ksherim. Maybe, how do you know, maybe there were good witnesses who would get kosher girish. Shadayim bozo ador, lo pakru lagamri, lo midu bezdin, right? Maybe the first generation, that same generation who got married by rabbinic standards, maybe they got divorced by rabbinic standards, right? Because it was a process. And even if they did have a bad get, maybe that woman never got remarried. And even if she got remarried, who said she got remarried at childbearing age? And even if she gave birth, how do you know that the person she gave birth to had children and passed it on? Maybe they were impotent. And even if they gave birth to children, or even they could have given birth, maybe they died young. And even if there was a mamzer, each carrot alive now will just say, I'm not a descendant of them. There's so many sveikot piled up on top. The chances the person you're marrying is a mamzer is so low. Fine. So it's a sveika, it's bittul, it's everything, it's fine. You can marry them. And then he says, that's my position. But there's a position of Rabbi Shimshon. The Afo Pishikos of Rabbeinu Shimshon, and we don't know who this Rabbi Shimshon is, but this Rabbeinu Shimshon, even though Rabbi Shimshon wrote Shehim Mamzerim, that they're Mamzerim, and therefore you can't marry them. Dafka ba'osam shikdushehem be'edim shalanu v'gitun eno get. That's only if they got married rabbinically and divorced keretitically, whatever the word is. Avo be'elu shebe mitzrayim she'enu magdishin ela be'edehem. But he said, that's not the reality here in Egypt. In Egypt, they get married with Karaites, they get divorced with Karaites. So, enkan kedushin shem tzule edus min adora ve'kasam tzizhav osa tshuva shem yaskimu ime chaveran ametirim shuva idu lefanei sharav Yaakov be'rav haya matir. And therefore, I'm permitted. Yaakov be'rav was matirit. Right, now Yaakov Beirav is a very important person, right? People don't know his name as much nowadays, but he's pretty important, as you know. He's the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef, and the person who convened the Beis Din to recreate smicha and gave smicha to himself and to Rabbi Yosef Karo, like real smicha, right? Important person. So all these people said it was mutter. Klal demilsa, so in Dalet, this is the psak. Heim, psulei edus. Anyone who married them is in a case, there were the witnesses were invalid, v'kiddushim, v'pneim eideim, ein kiddushim, so the marriage wasn't good. V'fichoch, ein behem chshash, mamzeiros, and mutar and lafo b'kahal. So therefore, there's no mamzeiros, they can get married. V'chein hayam maisa b'sof machzor, reish samazayin, shechazu kal gadol, me'akarein, l'das emes, b'mitzrayim, ayideh hanagid rabbeinu avram ha'chassid zal. And there was a story that there was a whole group of Karaites who came back to the fold, under the auspices of this Rabbeinu Avram, the Karavu Shahya bin Oshel HaRambam Zal, and it could be that it's Avram bin HaRambam, I'm not really sure, it's a, you know, apocryphal story. V'od hayom mishpacho zahem yuduz b'mitzrayim mehem kohanim yisrael miyuchasim l'adam potzeb aleihem, and those families have had children, are part of our community, they're kohanim, they're yisraelim, no one says anything bad, el adrab nischat nu bohem gidole kihilos mitzrayim harabonim, everyone has married them, the rabbis married them, it's good. V'maisa zahir alav bal Sefer Kafter Rav Ferach, who is Rav Shtori Haparchi, V'hilchachim yaskimu imi shnayim ibali haran imtzam bezor azan imatirim lava b'kal. And therefore, if two other people agree with me, I would say l'maisa, you're allowed to marry them. So the Radbaz's position, since the 15th century, is that the Karaites are mutter to marry. They're not mamzerim because their marriages weren't good, and therefore there's no need for a get. And even that first generation, so many sveiko, you don't have to be worried about it, you're allowed to marry them. On the other hand, he quotes a Rabbeinu Shimshon, that's what I put at number three. It's very hard to find, right? Everyone quotes the full things of Beis Yosef. It's not, so this is from Rabbavadia's citation of the Tshuva, but this is the fullest version I can find of this Tshuva of Rabbeinu Shimshon, we don't know what it is exactly. Says, no, it's Aser. He said, She'ela ha'im mutar lehizchatein im ha'karaim. Are you allowed to marry the Karaites? So he said, Tshuva. Me'achar she'im kofrim b'tor shebal peh, u'machal and kol v'chule v'chule. It's since they are heretics. Ve'elu shanu v'shil shu b'valtam. Kvar amru she'aser lizad basam aretz. And we say you're not allowed to marry ignoramuses. Kal v'chomer karaim, she'im sheketz, u'nusim sheretz. V'anusim u'omer aru shochav im kol behema. All the curses that we heap on people who marry unworthy people. So A, you can't marry them because they're unworthy. They're just not from people. The ode, and second of all, shekedushem minat Torahim, their kedushin is good. Kamosha amru shafil yisrael meshumadim kiddush kedusha of kedushin, and their marriage is good. Ushim megarshim and megarshin kedin Torah. But when they get divorced, it's not a good divorce. So it's two problems. One is they're not from, and two is they're mamzerim because they have good marriage and bad divorce. Yeah.
Why do they have good marriage?
It's a good question why he thinks they have good marriage. We don't know because we don't even know who Rabbi Shimshon is. It could be that he thinks marriage isn't so complicated, which is usually the answer. Right? What? Yeah, like a Rav Henkin-esque position, that if you're living together, a common law marriage, but everyone knows that you're living together, husband and wife, that affects Kedushin, right? That was Rav Henkin's position, you know. I mean, not quite Rav Henkin, because Rav Henkin also thinks that it's not true of people who actively don't believe in Kedushin, right? Like, he has five tshuvot, right? He wrote 150 impossible-to-read pages on this topic. It's impossible, but whatever. So the first four tshuvot, he says that civil marriage is marriage. In the fifth piece, which is not connected to that, he writes, except for anti-religious Soviets, because they believe b'shita, not in religious marriage. So therefore, they actively don't believe in religious marriage. So Karaites, you could argue, right? They don't believe in what we call kiddushin, or maybe, I don't know, maybe they do. But whatever, some position Rav Henkin-esque, let's say. Beis Yosef quotes just half of the tshuva of Rabbeinu Shimshon. He gets rid of the first half, meaning the reason you can't marry them is because they're not from, and he just quotes the mamzeiros problem. Right? Matzati called the number four. Matzati calls for shehev Rabbeinu Shimshon al karem shatr leschaten imaim lefinish osem mikudeshes mikudashos lam bekesav avia megarshin osem shlo kedas mishaim avesh davu chachamim begin mizul nachir mechaya baylam nimtzah banam mamzer meishes. Right, just the second half of the tshuva. You can't marry them because there's a problem of mamzerim. Okay, great. How do you paskin? So, the Ramah paskins lechumra, and basically the poskim divide. Most Ashkenazim are machmer, most Sephardim are mekil. So the Ramah says it's aser, number five. Hakaraim aser lezchatin vehem, kulum him safek mamzerim, and mekamlan osamnim rotzim lachzor. You can't marry the Karaites, they are safek mamzerim, end of story. Pesche Tshuva clarifies this from the Nodbi Huda. Ein chose Nodbi Huda, sheishiv odos echad shenasa bat karai. Hinei Ramaz al Hichlet Lasur. Right, so we had this case of someone who'd marry the daughter of a Kerei. The Ramaz says it's Asur. Kula Mishum Safek Mamzeiros. That's because of a Safek. Amnam Nucho Lomar Dal Karch Lo Asur Elo Ba Asur De Kviye. Va'af She Ruben Lavin Egir Shenu Mikol Malkum Chashivi Belo Batle. Umperish Echad Mehem Armin and called the Parish Me Ruba Parish. So the note the Behuda says it depends. If you live in a city of Kerites, then the Ramaz is right because of the rule called Kavua. That whenever you relate to people who are in their place or anything in its place, you have to always treat it luchumra, because anything which is kavua, kol kavua kimechsa mechsa dam, yes, we treat it as a suffix. So even if it's only one out of 100 is a mamzer, since I am looking at them all together, can I marry this community? The answer is no. But if one of them moves into a rabbinic city, so now I only have to ask the question, is what's the chance that this one person is a mamzer, not what is the chance there is a mamzer in the community? The chances that this particular person is a mamzer is very low, and therefore called a parish miruba parish, so then it's mutter. And that's generally Ashkenazi psak, that normally we're machmir, but maybe under certain circumstances we won't be. Okay. But then, some poskim, some Ashkenazi poskim, took a much harder line and agreed that it's usher to marry them, but because they thought they were goyim. Right. So far, we'd only seen people who said maybe it's usher because they're mamzerim, but they're clearly Jews. The Yavetz says no. The Yavetz, Rav Yaakov Emnit, says the reason you can't marry Karaites is because they're not Jewish. Why? He says, Masha ein kein karaim alolu kifishuhugad li vishamati ein lam taris me mikvah jindo velz ben klal rach shovchen al rosha kadmayim, because they don't keep nida like way we do, etc., etc. Next line, just skip, kiv einai heim nechshavim goyim gmurim, they're goyim. How are they goyim? They're biologically Jews. So he follows a certain group in the goyim and some of the rishonim and some of the achronim. Right? Normally we say, once a Jew, always a Jew. Many of the Gonim and some of the Rishonim and some of the Achronim thought that wasn't true. They thought that if an entire community acted not like Jews for a long enough time, they stopped being Jewish. And the ability to, and the Jewishness is in fact not, right, not inherent. It can disappear. So the Yavetz takes that position and he proves it from the Aseres HaShvatim, right, and he says, Lo Zazum Misham Atrasona Nachrim Gimurim. Right, they didn't leave until they defined them as non-Jews. Kivanim zaram yaladu vadeim choshen gamken lisa nashim nachrios, and they marry non-Jews, and therefore they are not Jewish. We have removed their Jewishness, and therefore the reason you can't marry them is because they are not Jewish. Okay, so then how do we paskin? Right, as I said, the Ashkenazim tended to follow some version of the Rama, or even more Machmir, and Svaradim tend to be Mekel, like the position of the Radbaz. So then we fast forward to the 20th century. And now you have a problem, right? Because now, in addition to the normal halachic issue, mamzer, not mamzer, Jew, not Jew, we have the added problem of political pressure. These are people who identify as Jews, but they may be mamzerim, they may not be Jewish, etc. What do you do? So here, the poskim divided. And I'll tell you in advance how they divided. You had the Tzitzel Yezer, right? Ray Waldenberg, who said, modernity, politics, I don't care. That has nothing to do with anything. Kedushas Yisrael, halacha trufa, that's all I care about. Minhag Ashkenaz, that they're mamzerim, or not Jewish, that's it. I don't want to hear it. Rav Avadya Yosef said, no, they're part of the Jewish people, they serve in the army, they're Jewish. And as we'll see, not only is Rebbe Vajda going to take that quote-unquote modern position, that politically correct position, he is going to take history and throw, he's going to say, and I don't care what history says, I don't care what anything says, right? I am a posek. Right, I can care about modern values without caring about modern values of historical accuracy. Right? He's actively going to put those two values in tension. So first, let's look at Tzitzel Yezer, who actively tells you, "I don't care what modern values tell you that we should want to embrace these people. They feel like they're Jewish. I don't care." Tzitzel Yezer number 8. Kerasheret Reinu beEmes Asherav Me'amoni Am V'Sofrav Manihigim Achiloniim Sheshchiach V'Sig Ein Lohem Ba'Avonas Anosei Hilchatin Natluli Adam Keter Torah. When I saw these secular leaders who don't know what the Torah is, and they grab the Keter Torah Lashmiya Dvarim Al Kach Berabim, and they pontificate about what halacha should be, Umal And they pretend, or they say this publicly as if it depends on them, and it depends on these secular institutions, and they're driving the rabbit is crazy, because the rabbinate is in charge of marriage, and they tell us, why aren't you listening to what we're telling you? And they're telling us with big signs, permit the Karaites, right? They're Jewish, Israeli citizens, let them get married. Came to me, and at this point, it's as if you don't know the difference between who knows God and who doesn't. The politicians all think they're rabbis. They think that they know what it means to be Jewish, what it means to be Israeli, what the right thing to do for Jewish culture. They could go to Cyprus. That's always true. Right, and they think that you should define identity based on nationalism. They think they can define the nationalism of the Karaites. And define them as if they're Jews, like everybody else. And I've seen this degradation in what is basically a halachic issue. I said, it's not time to be quiet. Now, before we even get into halachic arguments, what you see that Tzitz Eliezer is telling you, right? There's modernity. There's political considerations, and there's halacha. Everyone who you think you know what it means to be a Jew, what it means to be Israeli, because you're a politician, and you care about Jewish identity, you know what you're talking about. Halacha is halacha. Modern identity politics, or whatever they are, I don't care. All I care about is halacha, and that's what I am talking, right? You see very clearly, he's taking a position on how halacha embraces at least this issue in modernity. And the answer is, I don't care. I don't care.
When did he write this?
But this is in the 50s, I think. 50s, 60s, 70s, I don't know. What year is it? Probably, maybe not that early. Not so long ago.
No.
I mean, obviously since the state. So, here I'm not going to read through his whole tshuva, but I outlined his 7 points. his first point, Aleph, is that it will lead to spiritual destruction. Right, these people aren't from; they don't keep Torah. That's Aleph. Second,
nothing.
What?
They do keep Torah.
They don't keep our Torah, right? The second thing he notes is that Reb Chaim of Brisk introduced a new historical factor, and this is important. Right, because on the one hand, the Tzitz Eliezer says, "I don't care about political identity, but I do care at a certain level about history." And I care about history. And Reb Chaim made a fascinating point, which is sort of, possibly true. I don't know if it's true, but could very well be true. And Reb Chaim said, look, I get it. The Radbaz says that they only married Jews and they were kosher Jews and fine. But that was in the 1500s, right? That was the 15th century. There's been 550 years since the tshuva of the Radbaz. Who said they haven't married non-Jews since then? Meaning, right? As we'll see in Rav Avadya looks at the Radbaz and he says, well, the Radbaz said it must be true for Lidari Doros. And Reb Chaim says, what are you talking about? History changes. Right? The Radbaz wrote it, right, in whatever he wrote, 1450. There's been 550 years. By this point, they've been marrying non-Jews. Right?
But when the Radbaz wrote it, there also had been
right, so he's saying, so Reb Chaim said, look, I don't know what happened before then. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But I'm telling you that at this point, now they marry non-Jews. Now, it's true, the culture is very different from what they were, right? They had strong Karaite communities that were very, very isolated until, the emancipation. But during the emancipation, just like, rabbinical Jews went off the derech, so did Karaite Jews, right? And they were, in the heart of the Enlightenment. I remember once I went to the cloisters in Washington Heights, one of the guides or someone in the museum, I don't remember who came over to me. So I had a kippah because it's always rabbinic, always YU people walking around. It's in the middle of the park.
So what is this?
The cloisters. It's a museum. It's a museum which is in the park in YU. It's a they took old like cathedrals and physically picked them up and move them to like to the park next like in the Heights, right? And made into a museum. And he said, "You have to." She saw my tzitzis, and she said, "You have to see this painting of 17th century Italy. There's someone there with those strings." So she shows me this painting. I'm staring at it for like 10 minutes. I don't see anybody with tzitzis. And then I see on the wall is a tzitzis banged into the wall, right? Because they're Karaites, right? And they see tzitzis, or isem also, right? Right? You see them. Right, exactly what they say. You put it on a bag and you see them, right? Exactly as you say, as you know, we say that they did, right? They bang it on the wall. Well, that's what there was in the picture. I don't know if historically all the Karaites did that, but at least this Karaite, right, in 17th century Italy, right, there was, and it's true, there was a community there, right? So there were communities in the heart of the Enlightenment, so they also went off the Derech. So Reb Chaim makes the historical claim that at this point they are non-Jews, mixed in, and then. And then right in Dalit and Hay, and he notes that also in terms of Mamzeros, who says the fact that they were careful about Mamzeros until the time of Rabbi Baz, there was no reason to assume they were Mamzerim now. Then who says that's true now? And then in Vav, and even if you. And besides, even the people like the Radbaz, who says we paskim like them, because the Ashkenazi paskim didn't paskim like the Radbaz. We said, first of all, the Radbaz never said it was mutter. Second of all, maybe they've become mamzerim since then. Maybe they've intermarried since then. Meaning we need to be real to the historical factors at play. And just, there's more of a reason historically to think that things have gotten worse. So what the Tzitz Eliezer tells you is, on the one hand, the political value of identity politics, right? They think they're Jewish, we should treat them. I'm misusing identity politics, but that's okay, right? This identity politics, right? The fact that people can identify to be who they want, right? That they feel Jewish, they act Jewish, they're part of the Jewish state, I reject that. Halacha doesn't recognize that. Mitzad Sheni, he's very modern in the sense that I care about history, I care about the possibility that things changed. Right? And look, there is good reason to think that historically things aren't the way they were with the Radbaz. So besides the fact there's a Minhag Ashkenaz to be Machmir, there's also historical reasons to be Machmir. And in that sense, he's very 21st century, right? Where we don't just take the text, we also have to, right? We have to figure out whether historically not true. Now, Poskim always deal with history. The reason I point out that the Tzitz Eliezer does this is Kerbovadia goes in literally the opposite direction. If you look at Rabbi Avadia in 9, so first he starts off and he quotes the Radbaz and he says they're not Mamzerim, and even if you think that, right, and besides he can create a whole bunch of Svek Svekas in addition to that, just like the Radbaz did. And then he says, if you look in Bet, right, I've divided it by claims. If you look in Bet, he says, the Yavit says that they're Goyim, and Reb Chaim says that they've married Goyim. But Reb Avadia says, look, if it's true that they married non-Jews, that only makes things better, because that means they're not Mamzerim, they're non-Jews. So, fine, I'll use Reb Chaim to my advantage. Tell the Karaite to go to the mikvah to do a conversion l'chumra, and I'll add that, I have the kula of the Radbaz, right, that they're not Mamzerim, and if Reb Chaim's right, they're Goyim, so they couldn't be Mamzerim, so let them have a Geirus, fine. But then in Gimel, he says something which is wild. And he says, V'chazi hayot b'shut b'samim rosh, and I got a tshuva for you, from the b'samim rosh. Now, b'samim rosh is going to be problematic in just a moment, because the b'samim rosh is a tshuva attributed to the Rosh, right, Rabbeinu Asher, one of the most important Rishonim for Psak and his school. Problem is, it is almost definitely a forgery, and it was written by Rav Shaul Berlin in the 1800s. Just keep that in mind as we read the following tshuva. He's a maskil, right, or a proto-maskil, and when you read this tshuva, you'll see why people figured out that this had to be a forgery, and there's no way that the Rosh wrote this tshuva in the 13th century. It just can't be. He writes as follows. B'samim Rosh wrote as follows. Shehevi tshuva miyucheset l'Rabbeinu Baruch mimagensa. So he quotes this not from the Rosh, but Baruch of Magensa, also a Rishon of that period. V'sham kosev lahatir es ha-karaim lavo bakal. And he said, you can marry the Karaites. Why? She'af al pi shehem cholkim alinu binyana gittin v'kidushim v'dini arayos. Even though they argue on us about marriage and marriage and divorce and arayot. Hare ein lanu davar barum mesuim she'irim b'neim sh'nesar al pi chazal. First of all, I'm not sure they're aser. Kidi lachosh beglalo l'mamzeiros. First of all, I'm not sure they're mamzeirim. V'chzuke yisura lo mechazkinan. V'imbanu lechosh lakach. And if we're going to worry about this, hare einenu harosh yigam chachmei ha-talmud sh'lanu nechlegu b'nei arayos. The rabbis also argued about arayot. V'varm del mandi amr echad huyeshadeh shal idach mandi amr epinuya, etc., etc. So first he says, don't worry about mamzerim, because we never just assume that someone's a mamzer. Fine, that's standard halachic reasoning. But then skip down about halfway through. He says, "Avalak or kalgadom milchasos tachan chanfei ashrina havada shein litchos even acher noflam adetz Yisrael." But to reject a whole community who wants to be Jewish, we don't do this. Hamon gadol hanos nim leiv lekayim atorah kiminagavosem. These people who sacrifice to keep Judaism like their ancestors, v'sovlim shibud hagalus kamonu, they suffer as Jews in the exile like us. V'neherogim al kiddush Hashem, and they're killed al kiddush Hashem. V'kayamim bekoach harosh shematzi, and they're saved by God himself, by the great shepherd, Kasher Itanu, just like us. Eich nomar l'kal gadol kiyotim Yisrael l'srachik me'aleinu. How can we tell this great big community to go away from us? Mibnei she'anu tzrichim livdo gohem achar shash mamzeiros. What? Because we have to worry about mamzeiros? But they're Jews. They want to be Jews. They suffer like Jews. You can't call them mamzeirim. Vim kein seyuf dok b'Yisrael. If you're going to check them, check all Jews. Shevizman ha-malchus yirav ha-machaz ha-menashe v'amon v'yoyakim v'chol. Because all the evil kings of Israel, we were also evil. Rov Yisrael is now Goshalopia Kabbalah, Asher Kibalon Misinai. If you aren't allowed to marry without checking someone's a mamzer, etc., they should have told us. And even if it would be usher to marry a safik mamzer biblically, which it's not, it's only rabbinic usher, we should have uprooted the Torah. Because it's such a chil Hashem that we're turning away these people who want to be Jewish. Kilama yomru hagoyim hine am Hashem elo shte kitos. And how can we say that there's two types of Jews, ushnei mini Yisrael, zez man atzum bagola v'kachal mem sonas chaverta. It's so terrible. There are different types of Jews that hate each other. Ve'ena mischadim zem, they don't marry each other. V'zeh lechab Chil Hashem God, all this is a terrible Chil Hashem. And they quote the Gemara that sometimes we uproot the Torah, L'Kiddush Hashem, the Kol Shekin Shem Emes, Ein Kan Isser, Kol Shalom Noda, Lano Beverich Shashir Varprati, and it's not, we don't know it's Aser, etc., etc. It's a Chil Hashem, everyone's Jewish, it's all good, right? This is like classic, modern, right? This is no way, this is written by Rav Baruch of Magensa, okay, in the 13th century. Okay? Ravadia pulls, I don't know any move like this, this is just look in Dalit. Vine afal pisha duum of forsum shikami migoni Israel karumalayachre asifer bisamim ro vishainu elamasi de arav shal Berlin. And even though everyone tells me that it's a forgery, velav marbreder avina chasamalay, and it's not a Rishon who signed in it. That's true. It is a forgery. Va'av she'ein le'meidin meb some rosh el mitzad amr bovelom mitzad omer. You're right, I can't rely on the authority, but I can look at what it says. Hareka namr v'derm shel tam sharum lishmai, said good things, right? I is a maskil. This is a huge chiddush halachically, and it's not from someone with any shoulders. But I like it. I like it. I don't care. Umashikaz Rabbeinu Baruch b'tshuva miyucheset lo. That which Rav Baruch Magensa said in his tshuva, which is in him, sheyesh chilul Hashem b'ena agoyim shanu marchikim apostlem v'zeidah shezavel zimanu b'golos, that it's a chilul Hashem to turn away people who've suffered with us. Dormele yishlam tokev comes when into. That's true nowadays. Biyoter says biyoter is even more. Ki adua shekam mekareim roshim chachu b'chalos l'man medinat Yisrael, because all of them fought for the Jews. Gam biyosim b'gola in golos they suffered as Jews. Me'am shenim tzuru b'dishol nos mitzrayim votzim lahor lahal. The Horeg Amasha, Palum Sirs, Nevish, Laman Yisrael, and they tried to save Jews, and they were killed. Afbom Eretz Yisrael, Hamid guides him, Litzava, Be Yisrael, and they go into the army. Umaginim Aleinu, Bekal Kocham, Midei Mechablim, and they save us from the terrorists. Harisham, Zoni Yisrael, Shol Yom, Yagur, Mechamos, Ani Sholom, Vichy Adaber, Hamel, Chama, Umayom, Rolena, Chavashim, Shaino, Shomay, Tar, Mitzvot. What are the not from people going to say? Barosim, Shano, Marchikim, Azela, Shemoshim, Atzman, Bishvil Yisrael, when they see that these people are Moser Nefesh, Umavdilim, Osa Mizera Yisrael, V'chein lo Yaaseh, V'chein yesh lahamid hadavar al-kav ha-din val-emez val-shalom. So you should paskel like the Besamim Roach, even though it's a forgery. I don't care. I don't care. Historical, not historical, doesn't make any difference to me. Right? It says what I like. The Svara is true. We're paskening like it. Harmura mikol ha-amar, sheyesh makom rav, l'karev is a karev, and therefore there's much room to bring the karevs close to us. L'hatirlem, l'yisabas Yisrael, and therefore we should allow them to get married as long as they want to be good Jews. And then you should teach them halacha, so they should learn to be rabbinates, etc., etc. And what you see here, right, is very clearly, you have the Tzitz Eliezer, who, when it comes to the question of should we accept the modern, so to speak, value of they sacrifice as Jews, they live as Jews, they identify as Jews, and we should respect that, Tzitz Eliezer says, I couldn't care less. But when it comes to the modern value of historical accuracy, the Tzitz Eliezer says, I have to be worried that maybe things have changed. We have to look into it. What was true in the time of the Radbaz might not have changed. Right? History seems to have been different since then. There's good reason to believe that that the Metzios is different. Right? That modern value, he's all for.
That's a modern value.
It's not only.
It didn't change his point.
It's not only, but Rav Ovadia doesn't care. Right?
Right.
Meaning, like I said, this one is borderline. We'll see. It'll get worse in the Ethiopian one. Right? On the other hand, very clearly, right, Rav Ovadia says, look, the historical value, I know this is a forgery, I don't care, right? Right? And the Radbaz, all the Svara that maybe things have changed in the Radbaz said it, that's it, right? I don't care what might have happened in the last 550 years, makes no difference to me, right? The Radbaz says it, it's true. On the other hand, the identity issues, right, they're mitgayes letzahal, they identify as Jews, Rav Ovadia takes it and said, yeah, that's a Jewish value, that's true. What are modern people going to say? What are the secular people going to say? And he accepts it. And you sort of see this tension. On the one hand, the more you care about historical accuracy and right, and caring about manuscripts and caring about historical truth, the more the argument starts to fall apart to allow them to follow their identity. The less you care about that, the more you're willing to just close your eyes and say the Radbaz said it was mutter and let's move on, right? The easier it is to, right, get to that quote-unquote modern conclusion. So I'm not saying this is exactly how they're minaseachin. My point is that sometimes modern values don't always, right, work together. They might work in opposite directions. The last one I give you here is Rav Sherman in Tchumen Yotet, where following the Ashkenazi tradition, he is machmir, and here he explicitly takes on the historical view as part of his reason for being machmir. He quotes Rav Bakshi Doron, the former chief rabbi, who said, "Kazav shem yachas l'mavakesh of shanim shish lahosiv et asavik shem avia in Yehudi kareyel and achrei l'arzod shevet kufa shel asur hashanim acharnot disbaru v'chavdru rov akilot akarem yuchad lachar tkuva l'shoa shabazu hu al yidei anatsim v'chayotzim mishorash ama turki." It said, but Bakshi Doron said, maybe they're not Jews, and therefore you just need to give them a conversion, and all will be good. And therefore they're no longer Jewish, so Mamziris is not a problem. He said, Tanazu Shemekora Karaim Hu Ba'ama Turki Nidchadska Hayideya Choker Ephraim Dinard Bisifro Masa Karim Asher Kavash Kari Karim Mitzatzai HaMongolim or a Turkim Metzalom Arkuzarim. He said, that I can believe. Why? Because the historians say it, right? The fact that they're non-Jews, that kula I'm willing to at least play with, because, yeah, Ephraim Dinard says it in Masach Karim, the historians say it, right? Huevi, Shachmei Karim, Atzmamel, right? They're Mongolians, they're Turkey. Right? And therefore, he says, no, I really think that maybe they are not Jewish. Now, he takes this L'chomra, but you see that right here, right, again, he is willing to take in the historical thing, and that does drive his psak. Okay, in the last... We don't have that much time, but let's move to the Ethiopian question. The Ethiopian question, this question of the tension between modern values right, of historical accuracy and the modern value of people who want to be Jews and feel like Jews being Jews comes to a fore and even more frontal way. So, who are the Ethiopian Jews? So the Ethiopian Jews themselves claim to be members of the tribe of Dan, who settled in Cush. They have different stories. One version is they settled in Cush to avoid conscription by Yeravam. In another slight version of it, they believe to be the children of the queen of Malkat Shva came to visit Shlomo. So they have the legend that they got married and had a son, Menlik. And Menlik then went with his whatever courtiers and moved to Ethiopia and founded a Jewish community in Ethiopia. So they claim to have been from Shevet Dan or from the court of Shlomo since whatever it is, 3,000 years ago, give or take. Right? 3,000 years ago. So they weren't around for Korban Bayit Rishon, they weren't around for Korban Bayit Sheni, they weren't around for the Mishnah, they weren't around for the Gemara, they weren't around for anything. They've been all by themselves in North Africa. Okay. Now, that tradition is recorded by Eldad Haddani, who in the 9th century went to Ethiopia and he found these... this tribe, and he thought that they were in fact from Shevet Dan, and he brought this tradition back to the Rabbanim. Now, the question of whether Eldad HaDani's authenticity was questioned, but Rav Tzemach Gaon of Sura defended the book, and therefore there was a rabbinic tradition that the Ethiopians are in fact, as they say they are, descendants of Shevet Dan, or whatever, or from Menlik, or whatever. Right, that they're Jews, and that they're 3,000 years by themselves all out in North Africa. Now we, yeah?
Can I ask a question? And this is my own ignorance of the whole topic.
And they act like Karaites, basically, right, like, sort of.
I don't know what the science is, I don't know the... How does it work that they're, like, African, like, how do I say this, like, black?
Well, that's not really a problem. Why should Jews be right? Meaning?
No, but like, if we're all descended from the same genetic, I don't know if that's
works. Okay, so now there are, well, we'll come to that in a second.
Yeah.
So now the question is this historical record true? So why would it or would it not be true? So there were Gaonim who thought that it was true. Rav Tzemach Gaon of Sura thought, yes, they're Jews. And again, the Radbaz thinks that they are, in fact, Jews. They're Jews, like everybody else. He believed the testimony of Eldad Haddani. There were other people who questioned the testimony of Eldad Haddani, even when Eldad came in the 9th century. But additionally, that there's been some work. Ethnographers have done research, and using all the tools that ethnographers use, which, you know, I don't know everything they use, but in terms of tracing certain cultural patterns and certain, right, all types of things, they came to the conclusion that, presumably, they are in fact not who they say they are. They're probably non-Jews who adopted Jewish practices and married, or they were some Jews that end up here and intermarried, right, with non-Jews. And maybe there was a core of Jews, but basically most of them are non-Jews. Right, and Karen Bacon has an article where she points out that there's also scientific reason in terms of genetics, which they then research the comparison of their genetics and Jewish genes and things like that to believe that they're not Jewish. Right, so there's a whole body of scientific, historical, ethnographic research that calls into question the testimony of Eldad HaDani, which was nifsek lahalacha by the Radbaz. So again, you had the same problem. Now, what do you do? Right, this is a group of people who believe themselves to be Jews, have been persecuted as Jews for a long time, for 3,000 years by their own testimony, but at least a very long time. Meaning we know they're there since Eldad HaDani. Like, we know that they're there, and they've been there for a while. So several thousand years they've been there. On the other hand, there's historical, scientific reasons to believe that their story is not fully true. So do you treat them as Jews? Now this is true halachically. This is also true in terms of the law of return. Do you treat them as Jews, or do you not treat them as Jews? So, at the beginning of the state decided that they were not Jews. They were not Jews. They followed the traditions of the historians, right? They assume they're not Jewish, right? They're not Jewish. Rabbi Avadia Yosef was not happy with this. Rabbi Avadia said, "What do you mean? The Radbaz said they're Jews. He followed Eldad Arani. I don't care about history. I don't care about anything. They're Jews." And following Rav Avadia Yosef's psak, Israel switched his position. It decided that they were Jews for the purpose of law of return, and then had some very famous, right, flights bringing the Ethiopian community to Israel. And this was, right, this was basically how the machlokas played out. But if I had to pick the two main players halakhically in this, you had Rav Herzog, right, who was asked the question first, as he was, the first chief rabbi of the state, right, after it becomes a state, right? And then Rabbi Avadia, who switches Israel's position when he becomes chief rabbi. So what does Rav Herzog say? So Rav Herzog says, okay, number 12. Hachitun im kat b'nei Israel shebehodu. So he says, first of all, achshash nisur b'isur eshet ish, tzazel garagim v'kutim. So he said, one problem with marrying them would be mamzerut. Okay? So here he just reiterates the whole machlokes of the Ashkenazim of Sfaradim of whether you can marry the Karaites. Because he said, even if they are Jews, they have the same problem as the Karaites, because they literally, if their story is true, they have been in, Ethiopia since before Churban Bayit Rishon. They don't know of Mishnah, they don't know of Gemara, right? They are way before anything that we have developed in the rabbinic community, right? And therefore, their Gittin and Kedushin run to the same problems as the Karaites. Rav Schechter toys with the idea, but then rejects it, that he said, maybe you could come up with a very radical position, that unlike the Karaites, who lived amongst rabbin Jews, and therefore it was illegitimate for them to follow their own positions, maybe the Ethiopians, since they separated from the rabbinic Jews 1,000 years before the Mishnah, maybe they aren't chayiv to follow Tarsh Baal Peh, because they are, right, they weren't bound by the Sanhedrin HaGadol Yoshev Yerushalayim. They left hundreds of years before that even mattered, before Mishnah Gemara came into reality. It may be the fact that they have different halachot is totally fine. Then he rejects it, because he said, no, that's not true. The Sanhedrin Gadol is binding on everybody, even if you don't know it's binding on you. But he at least toys with that, which is an interesting possibility, but fine. So that's point one. He says, whether or not their mamzerim is the same machloket as the Karaites, and that is an old machloket Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Okay, in bet. He says, Mukhrachani lomar, she'ein svarta matirim zu muvenet li kol tzarka. I'm not really sure why you would be matir. The sof, minig avasem biyadim, shavaz avasem hitum, v'lami yechshu kemizidim. Amnam lozeu atam, right, he said, first of all, I don't know why you would be mutter, because he said, many of the people who say it's mutter because they're pasal eidos. But he said, why are they pasal eidos? Maybe they're kosher eidos, because they're only tinuk shenishba, and therefore their marriage might be very good. You want to tell me that they don't have good edim around for kiddushin? Maybe they do. Maybe because they're all tinuk shenishba, their kiddushin is good and their divorce is not good. So that's one reason to be aser. In Gimel, he says, "Ulam sof sof linin alach. I'll raise machlokas ben gadol Yisrael v'yefshar lanu lachrei binyan." But at any rate, even with my new svara, in terms of the mamzer's question, it's basically the same machlokas about Karaites between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. Great. Now, in terms of whether there's a gzeira against them, like there's a gzeira against marrying Karaites, which there may or may not be, but assuming there is, so that in Dalit he says there isn't, because even if they're similar to the Karaites, in the sense they don't keep Tarsh Baal Peh, they're not actually Karaites, right? They're a different community that can't be blamed for not keeping Tarsh Baal Peh. So that I don't think is a problem. But it... Okay, you know what? The easiest way to do this is just going to skip to Reb Avadia to see this. So now, the rest of it we'll see in Reb Avadia. Okay? So Reb Avadia first says, look, I think, first of all, that they are in fact Jews, because that's what the Radbaz says. Right? Look in 13, right? 13 Aleph. So he says, Binyan Ole Ethiopia, HaFalashim, right? That's what they're known as, the Falashim. Yadu HaMashikaz Radbaz. The Radbaz says they're Jewish. Vishut Divrei David, Shekol Eilu, he said they're clearly from Dan. No question. Then they didn't have rabbis around, so they followed the Torah. But they're not Karaites. They're not, Kofrim. Okay. And the Radba says, in a second tshuva, ukvar chaviti da to be yom zayin adar, alif tavshin lamin gimel b'michtav shit parsem b'rabim shafalashim yehudim l'chol davar v'istamachti al Radbaz v'amrei kashanal, and I publicize that they're Jews based on the Radbaz v'gam batzanu l'kam ega'onim b'dor shalvainu shizkim l'kvizu, and many agreed with me. L'chein bati l'maskana shafalashim him tzetzei l'shevet mi'Israel shehidrimu l'kush, and therefore I concluded they must be Jews who went to Ethiopia. It must be that the rabbis who said they were from Dan did their research. And after the head of the Falashim came to me and said, we want to be Jews like everybody else. I said to myself, it's not time to be quiet. We have to save them from assimilation. And get them quickly to Aliyah. And teach them Torah, bring them to build the country, and they'll come home. And therefore, right, Rav Avadya says this wasn't just theoretical. I turned to the country and I turned to the Sochnut. So I did everything to get them to Israel. So the lost ones won't be lost. To teach them Torah, and my psak led to them being recognized as Jews based on the law of return. They agreed to give them the rights and the law of return of Yom Chof Adar Tavshalom and Heidach in Echlitu Sheish Lachil Chok Hashvur Aleihem Vizod Al Yisod Chavot Da'ato Shal Rishon Letzina Rav Rashi the Yisrael HaRav Avad Yosef Hayoet HaMishpati LeMemshalah Professor Aaron Barak, right, who would later become the head of the Supreme Court, Horesh Shibikvod Achlata Lakir B'Yudei Ethiopia Kiyudim Al Pichok Hashvut Ein La'akevet Rishomam B'Mirsham L'Chlisik Yehudim, and therefore they were listed as Jews. Bikvod Achlatot Eila Shayu Goraliot L'Yudei Ethiopia Hit Afshiru Ubao Galei Aliyah L'Yisrael V'Shnat Tavshin Memdal V'Shnat Tavshin Memhei V'Ades Tavshel Shel Shnat Tavshin Memted Higil Yisrael Kishish Asar Elef Olim mi Ethiopia. 16,000 of them came based on my psak. But in bed he says, Ulam lo acheid, but I won't deny. Ki ra'iti lagon Rabbi Yitzhak Isaac Alevi Herzog Zatzal. But Herzog said something. Because the academics say that they're not really Jews. They say there were some converts to Judaism later on, but they were non-rabbinic converts. They didn't convert up Peter Shabbal Peh. They invented something. It's like converting without any intention to be mekayim the mitzvahs der rabbanan shem mekamunos of him kein shemanim yudim b'muvan al chatis. They're not Jewish. And here's the key in the bold. Vinaraot nifleti marai al kacha litcho divre gaone olam. How can he accept the historian's view over the rabbis? Shekovim bivadaut shein safek shevehem shein vedan. Because the Radbaz says they're from Dan. Mipnei divreim shal chokrim shematilim safek behadulim. Because of some academics. Umi nidchem mipnei mi atmeha. I am shocked. Who do you push aside for who? Right, the academics or the rabbis? And you see very clearly again, this is a huge sugya, again, we are almost out of time, so we can't get into it, but you see the same thing, that Rav Herzog, who has a PhD in science, right, he understands that they've sacrificed to be Jews for a long time, but he also is modern in the sense that he's committed to the halacha, to the scientific process. And the ethnographers and the historians assume that there's no way that this tale of Eldad Adani is true. So he says they're not Jewish. Right? Bavadia says no. Right? On that ground, I don't care about history. What do I care about? The Radbaz said they're Jewish. They're Jewish. But that comes into tension with the other value, which is, on the other hand, they've sacrificed to be Jews, they've lived as Jews for thousands of years, right? So here again, you see those two modern values, the value of allowing people who've lived as Jews, sacrificed as Jews, to be true to their identity, even if it doesn't have historical basis, come in tension with the modern value of historical accuracy, of scientific inquiry, right? And Rav Herzog represents one tradition, right? Rav Ovadia, the other, just like he did with the Karaites. So this I just use to point out the fact that sometimes, right, when we talk about modern problems, right, modern problems aren't just, right, one-sided. There are a lot of values we take for granted in the modern, or don't, but are part of modern discourse, such as caring about historical accuracy, using the scientific method, historical method, and the like. And on the other hand, giving value to people's identity and the like. We can question in each case how much does halacha recognize this value, that method, etc. But we have to recognize that you're not always going to get the same answer. Sometimes one set of quote-unquote modern values leads you in one direction and others lead you in the other direction. You have to not just negotiate classic Torah values with quote-unquote modern values. Sometimes you have to negotiate modern values with modern values and how each of them plays into how we understand Torah and figure out where the conclusion comes from it. And in both of these cases, you see that two different types of modern values push in different directions and lead to different psakim. In the rest of the tshuva, he tries to get out of the other problem, which is the mamzerus problem, because the Radbaz, who thought they were Jewish, did think it was a mamzerus problem. The rest of the tshuva is devoted to that, but I'll leave that to you to read for yourself. He also notes, by the way, that Moshe Feinstein, who isn't, you know, someone with a PhD, also agreed with the Herzog on the historical point here, right? So it's not just people with PhDs that care about historical things, right? You can be, right, a classic post, I can think that as well. We have to go to Marav. Shkoyach.